Welcome to Forging a Life podcast with Coach Christine Clark. Forging a Life is a SunGlow Transformation production aired on Transformation Talk Radio and all your favorite podcast platforms. If you own a business, have a side hustle, desire to make the leap into self-employment, or just love human interest stories, Forging a Life podcast is for you. Christine Clark is an internationally certified transformational life coach. She is the coach for your entrepreneurial life, and these are her people. Jump into the fire with those forging success on their own terms with courage, tenacity, and resilience. These are men and women you could easily meet on the street in your own community. Gain wisdom, insight, knowledge, and inspiration each episode as these business owners get transparent with Coach Christine Clark, sharing their passions, challenges, and origin stories. This is Forging a Life.
Hello, I am Coach Christine Clark, and this is Forging a Life. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with Penny Carroll of Penny Carroll & Associates Real Estate Firm. Penny is a delightful, dynamic woman who went from cleaning homes to selling homes to building a family business in real estate. I met with her at their offices in Des Moines, Iowa, where we talked about what it takes to get started in business as a woman, and the interesting dynamics of working with family members. Along the way, we touched on choices made out of integrity and what true representation means. Let's listen in to this juicy conversation.
So I want you to just kind of go back and, you know, tell me a little bit about your life and just share anything you want that kind of led you to, you know, to what you're doing today.
Sure. So before real estate, I used to clean homes.
Okay.
And I'd be done at noon, and it was wonderful. And so through my housekeeping of residential homes, I met a few real estate agents. And sometimes I was always surprised by who I was meeting, and I thought, maybe I could sell a house someday.
What do you mean surprise?
Because you have a stereotype of what a real estate agent, how they look and act and behave. And sometimes that didn't match up with the person that was meeting me at the house to let me in to clean. Or they also seemed approachable and down to earth. And so I thought, maybe I could sell real estate. So as I was cleaning homes, I had a physical disability. My back went out on me. And I thought, I don't want to have backaches now. So maybe instead of cleaning these beautiful homes, I could sell these beautiful homes. I went back, talked to my husband. He said, I don't know if you can do that or not. He said, are you sure? And I said, well, I'm going to give it a try. Ironically, he now works for me in real estate.
Now, how long ago was that?
That was probably, that was in 2002.
Okay.
So that was 18 years ago.
Okay.
And got my real estate license, got into the business, learned very quickly that I thought I would like it, helping people, problem solving, and I just went along selling homes. And in 2013, if you fast forward to that, that year I sold 233 homes. I had an assistant at that time that helped me with all my paperwork. And I went to her at the end of that year and I said, I just don't know if we can do this again. And she said, yes, we can do it. We're going to hit it. We're going to go more than 233. I said, no, I mentally, physically, I don't think I can do it. I don't think our customers are maybe understanding what they're not getting for service, but I know what I could give them to service if I didn't have as many.
Tell me a little bit about that piece, because you did really, really well. There was a toll on you physically, mentally. Obviously, people were happy with you. But your story was, it wasn't as good as it should be, could be for the customer.
I just felt that I wasn't giving them the attention that I would like to. We got the job done, and they were satisfied, but I just felt like they were becoming more of a transaction instead of a customer for life. Maybe not for life. That was going a little strong.
Yeah.
And so I didn't like that. I didn't like being pulled. I didn't like compromising with family time, business time, and business was probably getting more attention than my family time needed because business was so urgent at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, people were there, they needed help. So I called my son, who's a natural in sales. He'd been working at Community State Bank for 5 years, which was a really good experience for him. But I said, if you're ever wanting to get into real estate, get into sales, this is the time because mama's hiring. 2 weeks later, he walked into my office and I jokingly said, you thought I was serious? Because he had quit his job. But oh. No, yeah, he had come in together. Joe and I were able to carry the load. We did 235 transactions that year, mm-hmm. but we did them very well. And I had a little more sanity back. The next year, 2015, my son, Lauren, our oldest, approached us and said, hey, is there room in the company for me to sell homes as well? You never tell any of your children no. He wasn't a natural salesperson or very outgoing. I thought, well, let's give it a whirl. And so then Lauren joined us in 2015, and we did 275 transactions. Mm-hmm. So we always give Joe, the first son, a hard time, saying, hey, when you came on, you increased our sales by 2 houses. When your brother came on, he increased the sales by 40 homes. So we have a lot of fun with that. Before my sons had joined, that year that we had 233 homes, a little bit before that, my husband got licensed. I needed help with people wanting to go see their homes for a second time to maybe measure or, you know, look at the windows or do something, show mom and dad or show their kids. And that's where it was really tough for me because we are already under transaction, but I wanted to be able to service them. They've already been in the home. So that's something that Dennis could easily do. So Dennis got licensed on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Lauren joined us, and that's when I learned that you don't have to have a loud, outgoing personality to sell real estate. He doesn't juggle a lot of balls well, so that makes him a very good buyer's agent because he's focused completely on that buyer at that time. He's not checking emails. He's not making other calls. He's not running anything through his head. He's there looking at that house, making sure that's a good, solid home. Joe also does that. Joe does come with a little bit of the salesy personality, which is a lot of fun. And it works for a variety of different buyer clientele that we have to have the two different personalities. And when the boys started learning the ropes of real estate, they asked why I work for a franchise company. Why are you not your own company? And I had my broker's license, so I could do that. I just didn't know if I should or not. And so they're the ones that pushed me out into opening our own brokerage. Right before that time, Mark Vandertag called me and said that he'd like to become a real estate agent as soon as he retires from his full-time job. And he wanted to know what to do. I told him what to do. And I thought, yeah, whatever. A lot of people ask me that. And I never hear from him again. Mm-hmm. 365 days later, Mark calls me and says, I have my real estate license. What do I need to do? I'm like, oh, you were serious. So I talked to Lauren and Joe and I said, hey, Mark Vandertag has his real estate license. What do you think about him joining the team? And they said, that'd be fantastic. He's a great man, Mom, do it. So we hired Mark, first one hired that was not part of our team.
Okay.
Not too long after that, we decided to add another agent and then some other agents have joined. And so we're really happy for the group that we have with us right now. So it's no longer a family brokerage, but it is a family owned brokerage, mm-hmm. but we also have other agents that work for us. We were always working out of our car, out of a basement. Then opportunity came up in 2019 to purchase a building. We thought it would be really cool to renovate a home because we sell homes mm-hmm. and it's still on a commercial location. So that's worked really well for us.
Yeah. Offices that are homey for people that sell homes.
Yeah.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. And then upstairs we have a photography studio. So my daughter-in-law has a photography business. So she shoots photos upstairs.
You've cleaned homes until mm-hmm. back started.
2002.
When you switched, was it just cold turkey? Quit cleaning homes?
No.
Get your license?
I mean, I quit some of the homes, but one of my homes, I told them, I'm getting my real estate license, but I will always clean your house. I will always clean for you. It wasn't about 3 or 4 months after I got into real estate business. I said, okay, so long. And I still keep in touch with her. She's a sweet lady. She is really supportive and proud of where we've taken the company and business because she knows me from the very beginning.
Right.
So that's really sweet.
What were some of the bumps along the way? Were there times where you second-guessed yourself?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
I would say right at the beginning of the business, I was not in corporate America ever. So learning corporate America was a little tough. How should I say this? Anyway, when we were doing some transactions, it would get pretty heated. And it would bring me to tears at how some other real estate agents would be reacting to the deal. And I was very emotionally involved in the transactions. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn very quickly then to get tough skin and be strong and fight back when necessary. That was one learning experience there. There were several times that I said, I don't think I'm going to do this. I'm going to quit. At one time, I told my broker that I don't think I'm cut out for this. I think I'm going to quit. And he said, no, you're going to be a good real estate agent. You get out there and go sell homes.
Okay.
And then another bump along the way probably would be when I was going into partnership with someone, a couple individuals into real estate. We opened up a office and it was a partnership agreement, and I was not savvy to what the details of that were and did not do enough investigating on it. And that was a 3-year nightmare. A couple things that I really learned, that I don't want to be ever in partnership. And then the second thing that I learned was what true representation means. Through this 3-year lawsuit, I had an attorney that represented me. The first year, I would say that I was probably right in there with him trying to find the details, give him things, tell him what he needs to do, what he should do or what he should say or how things should be. And he's an attorney. He's been an attorney for a long time. I've never been an attorney. I've never been in court. The second year, I backed off just a little bit. The third year, I told him, just call me if you need anything. And I never felt so represented as when I was in that courtroom. And he was defending me. He was standing up for my cause. And that I brought over to the real estate world. When we sign with a buyer's agency agreement, or when we sign with a seller's agency agreement, we are telling that individual that we're going to defend them, that we're going to watch out for their best interests. We have a fiduciary responsibility to them. Mm-hmm. And I don't take it lightly. Not that I took it real lightly before, but I didn't know what it felt like to be truly represented. And now I know what it felt like truly to be represented. So I really thought that helped my game going forward. And I always say, especially to my assistant, when we hit an obstacle, it's either going to crush us or it's going to pivot us to the next level. When we had an office space in Altoona and we were told that we can't have that office space anymore, it crushed my assistant. And I said, April, there's going to be something a lot better for us. Just wait and see. I said, we always are able to turn it into lemonade. And then we got this nice, beautiful building out of it. We aren't in a basement in Altoona any longer. Mm-hmm. I would say that just learning corporate America and the games and the networking and things were hard. The whole lawsuit with the partnership was a huge learning experience. We came out, we won all cases, so that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned what true representation was. I wouldn't say these are bumps, but just having that mindset that I was going to be a solo agent, just working with my assistant and then adding people, I got my head wrapped around the whole family thing, and that has worked out really, really well for us. But then the next step was adding other people outside of our family into our office and learning how to train, how to be a leader, and not just taking care of my own business, but actually being able to communicate to the other agents what it takes to be a good agent and how to do it. And so that's been a learning curve for me because I was never trained or sought to be a leader in any type of business. And now I am.
Right, yeah. Because it required. Step mm-hmm. in, it was required.
Mm-hmm. But then also on the other flip side is at the very beginning of being a family-owned business and having my sons come in, I had to put my mom hat down really
fast.
Well,
that was what I was wondering because there's that dynamic of being a mom and now you're also the boss.
Right. It was nice that it came in waves and not all at once. So my husband and I have been married for 35 years. And so we've had a partnership together for 35 years, raising kids, ups and downs, and we've weathered it very well. Bringing in the sons, the mom hat had to come down real quick. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because at the beginning, I didn't recognize it. But Joe, who had been in corporate at the bank for 5 years, he wasn't used to working with mom either. And so when I asked him to do something one time, I said, hey, Joe, can you run out to the car and get my snack? I left it on my dashboard. He's like, no. And I thought, oh, yeah, I guess I wouldn't ask another agent to run out there and get it for me. So, you know, it made sense to me.
Uh-huh.
We gradually morphed into this boss, client, or work team member, I would say more team member mm-hmm. kind of role, and it's worked out really well. Fortunately, we've been able to turn it off and on when we need to. So when we're on family vacations, we might talk about it, we may not. Or if Lauren or Joe need help with something, I can easily pick up and take care of it, and they're okay. Sometimes they're not. Like, Mom, did you see that check on my desk? Where is it? I said, oh, it was for Iowa Realty, so I ran it down there because I was on my way there. No, please don't touch anything on my desk. You know, so we just have very good communication. Open communication, I think, is important.
Yeah. Tell me about being able to separate work dynamic with your kids to family dynamic. Like you said, you were able to put it down when you're on vacation.
Yeah. That's a little bit trickier because real estate doesn't turn off. Mm-hmm. So I think even if the kids weren't in the business or my husband wasn't in the business with me, I would still be struggling and juggling with when to take that call and when not to take that call. So I think everybody has a pretty good understanding because of the type of business we're in that you can't turn it off, you can't turn it on.
So how do you actually have downtime? How do you do self-care?
Gardening in the mornings. Before the phone rings at 8. Mm-hmm. If my phone rings before 8 o'clock, I don't mind letting it go because something can wait till 8. And I've been trying to be better about maybe not taking calls after 8 o'clock at night. And then if I want to really escape, we go to Florida. And there nobody knows me. So then I can at least be out and about and not have to worry about anything. So that's really helped to get out of state because then I am forced to delegate more to my team. Or I take the kids, the grandkids will sometimes help me get a little bit of relief.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know that you have grandkid days.
Yeah, Mondays and Wednesdays.
Yeah. And so you protect those.
I protect those days from appointments. I can't mm-hmm. stop the emails and texts and calls on those days. Mm-hmm. But I can be a little bit more limited, like I'll check everything in a couple hours or I'll check everything in an hour.
Right. This is all beautiful. Oh. This is rich. So if you are going to give advice to other entrepreneurs mm-hmm. that are wanting to include their family in their business, what would you tell them? What are the secrets?
I would tell them as an entrepreneurial, I would say, I'll tell what was helpful. I think it was helpful that I was in the business for quite a while before. I was in the business 11 years before my family joined me. I think you need to do the roles that you're asking them to do so that you can appreciate what they're going to go into and you can train. I would also say open communication is huge. Understanding each other and knowing, making sure that you compliment and encourage and celebrate. Sometimes it's easy to brush over that because, oh, well, they're my son. You know, they know that they've done a good job. But no, you need to verbalize that. I think that's really important. Today at team meeting, I read an email from a client that had given my son Joe a good compliment, and I wanted to honor him in front of the whole team about that. So nice. We try to do that with everybody. But
yeah, because that's one of the pieces of successful companies is recognition mm-hmm. and giving it. What I'm hearing is just because it's your kid, don't short that.
Right.
You wouldn't short that for anybody else right. around on the team.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And then listen, you know, it was my sons that said, you need to get out from under this franchise. You need to be your own broker.
Right.
And recognize everybody's strengths within the team. If it's something that somebody else is better at doing, let them do it. I tried doing one home walkthrough video, and I didn't feel right about it. I didn't like it. I didn't want to do it. I'm like, then don't do it, Penny. You've got two other comedians on the team that are comfortable in front of a camera. Let them do it.
I love it that it was your kids that pushed you to become your own, to become the broker.
Yeah.
And not work under a franchise. What was your personal reasons for resisting that?
Sure, those are good. One was I was tired. That requires a lot of changing signs, making sure you're compliant with a trust account, a lot more book work. So those things. And then the other thing was that I did not know how my name standing alone would compete in the Des Moines market. At the time, we didn't have a lot of little companies. Some of the big dogs were not playing very fairly with some of the little ones.
Isn't there like a clearinghouse for all stuff that's on the market?
There was, yes. But then each of these companies have their individual websites. And one of the big dogs was saying, we're not putting so-and-so's listings on our website. I keep track of the market share and how we are performing within the Des Moines market. And we'd always, up to that point, we'd always been in the top 10 of 2,500 agents. Quiet, small, real estate agent on the east side. Killing it. But I didn't know if I could still do that if I went independent. At the time that the boys asked me, let's go independent, I thought, I don't know if we can compete, but who cares? If I can't compete and I lose one or two deals because they wanted a big name company, it's going to far outweigh the $60,000 plus that it would be saving us in fees that we paid for the franchise. So I thought, okay, might as well try it. Today, we're number two in the market of 2,500 agents.
Woohoo! So,
April? Oh, she's got her earphones in. Yeah. Oh, are we still number two?
I'm sorry?
Are we still number two?
Yes.
Okay. She keeps track of it. Yeah. The other thing that I need to mention is that the only partnership that I would ever have is a partner with somebody that's got your back. And April's been with me since 2007. I stole her away from another company, and she would run the whole, all the agents in this other company. She came with me. I told her I didn't know if I could pay her. I didn't know what I was doing, but she's welcome to come. She said, you're going to be fine, Penny. So she came over, and at the end of the year, we high-fived that I didn't miss one of her paychecks, and she's been with me ever since. So you have a good egg that is partnered with you that has your back.
And people that see
the potential in you, yes.
Yeah.
Both my husband, even though he said, are you sure you can do it? He told me, I knew you could. And that was early on, because I didn't have the confidence that I needed in myself.
Right, yeah. So, and that
makes a world of a difference.
It does. And sticking with it until you can build that confidence. Yeah.
Right. Don't give up. Those entrepreneurs, don't give up. Mm-hmm. Listen to those that have gone before you. Mm-hmm. Nothing is a brand new idea. It's just borrowed. So just pay attention a little bit to what your competitors are doing, but pay attention to what some other businesses are doing. And if you like what they're doing, model it. Don't always listen to your naysayers. I had different real estate agents that would tell me, Penny, you've got way too many people in your database. Penny, why do you do that? Do you really get any leads from doing that? Why are you doing that? And eventually we were in the top 10. I was really happy that I didn't listen to them all the time.
Right. Yeah, did what felt good. What
right.
Was right by
go
you.
With your gut. Yes.
Yeah. Talked about the building a thick skin at the
Right.
Would you be able to elaborate on that more? What was actually happening that
sure.
was triggering you to almost tears?
One quick thing that brought me to tears is I didn't know how to run a fax machine because I'd never been in corporate America, and one of my colleagues said, "Can you fax this over?" And so I faxed it over, and the lady called me and said, "Penny, your fax is all blank." Well, I'd faxed it upside down, and I went to my office and started crying. My mentor came in and said, are you okay? I've got somebody I want you to show a house to. I said, oh, I'm just not feeling good right now. And I was crying. But it was that day that I sold a house, too. So that was really exciting. But anyway, the one that brought me to the tears that I was going to quit was someone that was really successful in real estate. And I was getting into his territory. I didn't know that he thought this was his territory. There are no territories for anyone. Mm-hmm. But he sold a lot of real estate in this little neighborhood. He was losing opportunities because I was taking these listings. And at one point, he called me, and he chewed me out. And it really crushed me because he was looked upon as a really successful agent. And I thought, well, a successful agent has got to be nice too, right? You know, I would admire what he was doing, but now this guy that I thought was such a great agent and that I admired was now chewing me out. And I hung up the phone and started crying and told my husband, I don't think I'm cut out for this. I don't think I can do this. I can't remember if someone at that point told me, you just need to get your big girl pants on and get going. Another pivotal decision that we made was to leave a builder. All real estate agents, when they first get in the business, that's who they think they want to work with. They want to have a builder. They want to have a community. And at some point, it was not making sense. And I told that builder that I no longer wanted to list homes for him in this community that I had helped build up. And he said, well, I need to explain to you why we're doing what we're doing. I said, no, that's okay. You don't need to do that. 90% of my stress comes from your company, but only 10% of my income is coming from your company. I said, that's not a good business investment for me. I said, I no longer want to list your homes. And so just learning that lingo, seeing how I grew from 2002, and then that was probably 2010, maybe, you know, that I was able to tell a builder no, because it didn't work. That we have a good builder that we love right now. We really enjoy working with this builder, but there was one builder in town that wasn't so great, and it was really nice to walk away from it. So knowing when something doesn't make sense, being able to walk away from it.
Right. Yeah, that takes moxie. I love all this. This is so rich, Penny. Thank you.
Oh, good.
The conversation with Penny Carroll was just delightful. Her energy is fantastic. She knows her business, and she articulates so well. One of the things that Penny shared really resonated with me. When she talked about having the huge success and the number of houses that she sold in 2013, but being out of integrity with the level of service that she was providing her clients, feeling like they were more just a transaction and that was not what she wanted. So she made the shift to invite her son into the business so they had the manpower to run the business in a way that was in alignment with her values and what she wanted. And that was just huge. Sometimes in business, we chase after the accolades, the monikers, the money, and we can get out of integrity with who we are, with the culture that we want to have in our business, with the experience we want the people that we serve to have. And we get caught up in these other pieces and we forget the most important piece, which is the people piece. So thank you, Penny, for sharing that piece, reminding me how important it is to stay in alignment with who you are, no matter what's going on in your business. This is Coach Christine Clark, and this is Forging a Life.